Is this this is Sandra?
Yes.
Hi.
Is anybody else on?
Nope, just you and me.
Not even Teresa?
No, but you know, it's early. It's only
yeah.
5 past, so I usually people arrive between 8 and 8:15. So
yeah.
I'm not.
Did you get my email from yesterday? Probably haven't had a chance to see it yet.
No, I did, didn't I? I think I did. Hold on just a minute. Yeah, I read. I always read your emails right away.
Oh.
I actually read everybody's emails right away. That was. Yeah, I did. Yeah, I did.
Chris,
okay.
Are you? I have a question. Chris, are you there?
No, I don't. I don't think.
All right, you guys are streaming now.
Okay.
Just be aware. Okay. Chris is new to this.
That's their problem if they want to be listening to our...
Hello, world.
Yeah, but you are on the stream, so just
okay.
You know, just know
okay.
That you're public.
Okay, thanks. Well, I did get your email, yes, Sandra.
Okay, well, we'll talk about
the,
it.
The address, yeah. And,
yeah.
But while we're waiting for the others, she was the person who had a class with public relations, right?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
That was it. Okay.
Yeah.
That's what I
yeah.
thought. I was having trouble remembering.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
And just got an email with the correct email that I sent to you. So I
yeah,
know that
thank
it's
you.
It's valid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'll resend that to her.
Good. Okay. Was very disappointed to see the email from Brian that the BBC program is delayed.
Oh, was it? Oh,
yeah, he just sent that out tonight.
Yeah, I didn't know that. That's
yeah.
too bad. Is
yeah.
it delayed for a long time?
No, he just said there's a couple of more things that they have to do to get it going.
Uh-huh. Well, that's the way it goes, huh?
Yeah. Par for the course.
Yeah. Are we still alone, or is there somebody else here?
As far as I know, it's just us.
Still alone, right. Okay. I did invite a guest today who's a lot of fun to talk to.
Oh, good.
He's going to show up around 8:15.
Okay.
And I wonder if anybody else is going to show up. Well, maybe should we talk about an agenda?
Sure, that's a good idea.
While we're sitting here.
Okay.
well, my thoughts were that this is going to be a pretty informal meeting.
Yeah.
I told Roger we might take a little bit more time with him, the guest, than usual because we don't have as strong an agenda today.
Okay.
So, you know, Roger will check in, and he's our guest. And then...
then we should report out on what happened at the PMB meeting
okay.
to those that weren't in attendance.
Okay. And I can give an update.
Hello, this is
Hi.
Teresa. How
Hi,
are you?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
Fine.
Sorry I didn't get back to you today. It was just, it's been a crazy past 2 days. I haven't stopped.
Well, I was talking to someone, and what was supposed to be a 10-minute call ended up being an hour call with a programmer that, like, you know, she had her woes. And I said, oh, my gosh, I got to go. I'm supposed to be on a conference call. So I am raring to go.
We hear that.
To it.
And
well,
we're already streaming, just so you know.
We're streaming, and there's just three of us here, so it's a very informal call.
Okay, because Dina could not be on. Hello?
Okay, it might just be the three of us.
And can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, do you want me to get off the phone and call any other people? Sandra Rawlein said she sent an email. She's on a finance call tonight.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of conflicting meetings tonight.
That is a problem. You know, it's very sad that they would not respect in fact, I should maybe complain to the national board. If there weren't such pressing financial issues that I know need to be dealt with, I would kind of complain to them about scheduling a meeting at the same time that is during our regularly scheduled meeting.
Well, they did have it scheduled for yesterday, I believe, and then it had to be rescheduled.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Hi. Well, I did get a call today from someone wanting to call Sandra and remind her about it. So, anyway, do you want me to get off the phone and remind any other people? I'd be happy to call anyone else, unless you just want to reschedule this meeting, or what do you want to do?
Well, we have a guest coming, Teresa, so we should wait for the guest and at least give him the courtesy of listening to him.
Okay.
And also
that'll be
streamed. His interview with us will be streamed, which will be nice that people can listen afterwards.
Okay, yes.
I mean, realistically, we're not going to be able to reschedule a meeting. I don't see that happening. So I think it's better just to have meetings instead of reschedule them, even if they're very small. I think it's better just to go ahead.
Who is there anyone else other than Rip Robbins and Sandra Rawline stated that they could not come?
I think Dina said she couldn't come.
Yes, and Dina.
And I don't think anybody else checked in that I know of.
Okay.
And you can, you should report on your organizing efforts. Ursula?
Yes.
Yeah, we were working on an agenda.
The two things I want to give an update on are the Radio for People, because it's really intense right now, and the contract process going on.
Okay.
And then the last thing I was thinking about was the end of the year report.
Okay.
So what are the three things one more time?
Let me see. There was hold on just a minute. There was a recap of what happened at the board meeting, the affiliates proposal, task force proposal, an update on the contracts and Radio for People, and an end of the year summary like we did last year.
Okay. Well, I have to say, it just occurred to me that I still have not given you the minutes from the July meeting. August meeting was, I guess, because of the proximity to other meetings, was an kind of unofficial meeting that wasn't streamed. So I guess number two on the agenda should be postpone approval of minutes.
Okay.
So convene 7:12 p.m. or 8:12 p.m. your time. Affiliates coordinator report number two would be postpone approval of minutes. Then affiliates coordinator report with three parts. And is there anything else that needs to be put on the agenda?
Discussion about a summary, end of the year summary.
Well, so that's separate from the coordinator's report?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Anything else on the agenda?
Not unless somebody else, whoever else wants, not unless somebody else suggests something.
We have somebody just joined the call.
Hi, this is Roger from the Midwest.
Hi, Roger.
I'm a friend of Ursula's.
Good to hear from you.
Roger, great. Glad you're here.
Good. Ursula suggested that maybe I just kind of tell the story of what we've been doing and that sort of thing. But if you have any questions first, I'd be happy to try and answer them.
Okay, great. Well, let's... We have an extremely small meeting today. It turns out there's this is budget time for the network, and so
it's also the Jewish New Year, Rosh Hashanah.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It's also the Jewish New Year. So we do have two people on the call. One you know, and one you don't. Chandra Hauptman is a board member from Berkeley.
Hi, Roger.
Hi.
And Teresa, you know from the calls already.
Yes, I recognized your voice.
Yeah. So we do have people also listening online. And so Roger
and also
is,
this call is being recorded and streamed, so people will listen at a later date, those
mm-hmm.
that don't know,
okay.
catch it today.
Actually, I'm going to step off the call briefly, and I'm going to call Deb Shafto and Don White, and then I will come back on.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay. Right. Okay. So, Roger, why don't you describe a little bit what you're doing, and then maybe entertain questions afterwards.
Yeah, well, this whole thing started back in early February. My wife and I were driving to Las Vegas for our 20th wedding anniversary, and I am a nut on satellite radio. I've got the Sirius system, so we're driving across New Mexico, and there's nothing to do. And so C-SPAN had on a conference, and it happened to be the conference on community radio in Tennessee. I think it was Nashville that happened last year, last fall. And so anyway, I'm mildly interested in that and everything, but then they kept talking, and they talked about this open window for applying for a license. And I turned to my wife, and I said, that's what I ought to be doing. And we have both been downsized, right-sized, left-sized from Hewlett-Packard Company after each of us working there for 34 years.
Wow.
And we had stayed in Fort Collins, Colorado for about five, six years, but nothing really caught on, or none of the jobs lasted very long that I got interested and involved with. And so anyway, I told her that made some sense. And she's been, and sometimes in a marriage, a husband and wife get to have differing goals, but they match the same way. And she says, well, we ought to consider going back to the Midwest where we have grandkids. And I said, well, I would be willing to do that, but I don't know what the heck I'm going to do. And I said, now I know what I'm going to do. So we got back from Las Vegas, and my notes here say that we started on February 14th and called Prometheus and said, can we find a city in the Midwest where it makes some sense to have a station? And they said, well, yep, and you ought to get to know somebody called Ursula Rudenberg over at Pacifica. And so that was my next call, and she said, welcome aboard, and we have this Midwest Media Group, and we'd love to have you sit on that in our weekly phone conference. So that's the background of all this, and my background in training is as an electrical engineer for Hewlett-Packard, and worked on RF and microwave stuff in my first part of my career, and ultimately ended up working with software and software systems and that sort of thing. So I have had a wide group of experiences. Anyway, so I've been trying to apply what I knew and learned and worked at Hewlett-Packard and be a person who makes contributions to the Midwest media, and found out very quickly that it was a good sessions and that sort of thing from people, and that we had this mail list that we could get things out. And so I started writing small proposals to talk to people that could be potential nonprofit sponsors in the community that I had selected. And after numerous calls and things, you know, it's always hard to do things from when you're not living in the community. But I did find a group that wanted it, and we drove over and had a meeting with them, and they decided to be our sponsor. Meanwhile, the Midwest Media Wednesday meetings got a little more specific, and more people came into it. It expanded to just be the whole thing, because Ursula is working with people in the South and other states in the Midwest, and even some that you'd consider in the West. And so they kept joining, and so we had two conference calls at first, but it just became easier to do one. And Gabriel Pramonti in Chicago was with us for a long while and adding a lot of input. And then we started saying, well, let's get some real experts to talk. And so we've had a long series of things where we've had the lawyers have come and talked to us twice about this. We've had people from stations. We've had people discussing how you go out and promote your station, how you can talk to the people and get them to be interested in donations and the value. People who've coached us not to get in a battle with a local NPR station, but rather position yourself as an organization that is unique to the community. And because it's community radio, it literally gives everyone a chance to come to your programming group and present their idea. And if it has some merit, we can probably find a slot in our schedule to let you promote what you want to do about this particular community. So you gain a lot of knowledge in 6 months, I'll tell you that. And you learn to go off to the FCC site and check things out, and you learn who the radio engineers are and get involved with them and get a contract going for them to find your frequency for you. Right now everybody's scrambling to get some people to help them with doing business plans. That's something I never did. I've written papers within the division of HP that I work for, but never really a full-fledged business plan. So, but you bring all your skills to it. And anyway, we put our house on the market, and we made a commitment. We sold it, moved over here, got another house, and I'm trying to get that straightened away at the same time that we're doing this, and have formed a local committee from a group of people. And you have to be prepared for twists and turns. This thing has made several twists and turns along the way, and I've absorbed each one. Ursula, why are you laughing?
No, this is Teresa laughing.
Oh, this is Teresa. Oh, okay.
I have found that you have been a really stable influence on a lot of people that, you know, it's new to them. They're learning exponentially from 1 hour to the next, and you have been a great help to them.
Well, thank you. And so, yeah, I try and write up a good thing and put it out in the files, and people have given me compliments for, you know, but that's just the same thing as writing a tech manual for a Hewlett-Packard. I mean, if you have those skills, you kind of know how to make it readable and understandable and take some of the legalese out of it. And
mm-hmm.
I have one benefit. I used to sell to the U.S. Army, so I know government ease, and you just because you switch to a different agency doesn't make the language very much different, really.
Mm-hmm.
So I can kind of cut through some of the boilerplate and get down to what's really important.
Roger, why don't you describe what the recent twist has been?
Well, so life was getting, I was just ready to write Ursula an email and say, boy, we're really getting going in our town. We got the committee together. I like the people in the committee. Life couldn't be better. All we got to do is finish up the business plan and get on with it. Well, it turns out I started showing somebody how you find frequencies on the FM query part of the FCC page, and all of it, we picked one of the, I just said, well, let's look up this local university residence hall station, and we did, and it turned out on September 4th, they had filed to increase their power and change to the frequency that we've been using. So this is our latest twist and turn.
That is the frequency you're applying for.
For, yeah, the one we wanted. And so that was a devastating blow the other day. And it's forced the engineers to go back and think about and try and still work. And they did this filing under something called minor change rule. As you can apply for minor changes, and the last day to file would have been Friday the 7th of September. So So I wouldn't have, if this hadn't serendipitously happened, I wouldn't have looked for those people, and we would have filed a application that didn't make any sense and spend all that money and everybody's time and energy. And so we at least had the one blessing that we knew what had happened by one of the existing stations. And
would they get priority?
Sure. Well, I mean, you'd be interfering with them, so it isn't the FCC's job to propose another tower for you or anything.
Are you sure that they will get their request?
Well, you get, that's interesting. You talk to 10 people and you get 10 different answers. Some people are saying you ought to try and fight this by putting in some comments to the FCC that you don't think that they should make this minor change at this time.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't seem to make sense. If you talk to the lawyer, I'm listening to the lawyer in this case, Michael Cousins, and he's saying to me,
Are we streaming? Do we want these attorneys' advice set on the air?
Okay.
That's not a problem. Michael's
okay.
Public here.
But anyway, his advice and his statement long experience is that it's a rubber stamp deal by the minions that are in the FCC. They take it in, they look at it, they say, is this a reasonable tower these guys are going to? Is this an open frequency? Yes, and here's the pattern that they're suggesting, and yeah, there's no one on that frequency, so bang, approved. So he expects all of these people who've gone for minor changes with existing stations to get what they've asked for prior to they'll clean those up before they start looking at all the new applicants. That's his opinion, and he's saying you can spend your time that way, but I don't think you're going to achieve anything. So you are far better off going to your engineer and saying what other frequencies, other towers are around in your area. But let me stop with it. I mean, I don't want to give such long answers. But anyway, we're hanging in there, and the spirits of everybody is up.
What if the college organization that applied for the change has not been particularly good at using the frequency that they have had?
Well, the FCC, A, doesn't care about your content. Unless they violated let's say somebody ran the power up and they're broadcasting over the allotted power, that would be a no-no. But, I mean, these people have been at this for 10, 20 years, mm-hmm. more than 10 years. I don't remember what the date was on their original application. But they, in my looking at the information, there's no reason to believe that they're held in low esteem at the FCC.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you listen to their programming and you love acid rock, you'll love this station. So it isn't my taste in programming, but the FCC doesn't judge programming, and they don't.
I just don't understand why they need to broadcast to the whole town. You know.
Well. If you think about it, more and more students are living off campus. They're living like clear up in Somerset. They people that bought spec townhouses rent to the students.
You shouldn't mention the community name.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I'm trying. Anyway, but that there's lots of neighborhoods. So if you're there from their point of view, and your goal is to reach the students. The students live off campus, a lot of them these days, and they live in apartments around the fringes of the. So if you're just sitting at their headquarters, it's not a bad thing. Hey, there's a window open. We ought to get what we want before this window opens, since there's it falls under the minor change rules.
Well, not only that, but of course, anyone wants to seize an opportunity to have a broader base or more power so they can do their, their endorsements or, you know, they increase mm-hmm. their, I mean, they raise money, right?
I don't know how they're funded. In this particular case, I don't know if when you enter the residence hall, if $5 a year is given to that station or something. I don't know.
I don't think so. I think they just get student body money.
Whatever. Mm-hmm. So students who listen to this kind of, you know, assuming the disc jockeys are other kids and they know what people want to listen to, they get 5 or 10% of the students to give them $10 to $50, and they manage to survive.
Mm-hmm. Well, that is a real disappointment. It is a real pity that, I mean, I'm really feeling that what you have to offer is a real community service, and
mm-hmm.
maybe what they're offering is really not a community service.
There's nothing he can do about. He can't fight that now.
Mm-hmm.
What is your plan at this point as to counteract this move? Are you looking at another frequency or?
Yes.
Okay.
We're looking at another frequency, and it will probably end up with a smaller circle, a slightly smaller circle. The engineer is going to work on it tonight or tomorrow night and give me a call. It's a smaller, but at least the good news is it's separated by enough channel spacing that we could potentially broadcast into this town without a problem, because they've moved up in frequency and we're going to take a signal below where they used to be, and so we'll be 5 channel spaces away from each other.
Mm-hmm.
So the good news is we still may be able to broadcast to this town, and it could be a situation of will the best man win?
Mm-hmm.
With programming content. And we may get students who say, you know, I don't need acid rock. I'd love to learn something. I'd love to learn about state and local and national issues. I'd love to hear bluegrass music. I'd love to hear other kinds of music and all of that. So we're not feeling dead in the water. It certainly wasn't like noon the other day.
That's great that you're so optimistic and that you've already turned that around and into a positive move for yourself.
Yeah, and so I'm on.
Keep
going. The other thing that this has inspired me to do, and of course with a sales background and an outgoing personality, I don't have problems speaking to groups, so I've lined up all the libraries in the area we'll serve, and I've got a 2-hour or not a couple hours, excuse me, to do a talk. So I'm getting ready to get my talk together of what this is like. And we've talked about getting on the internet and putting just the small samples of the kind of programming we're talking about. So as we continue with talks in the fall and into the winter, we can keep hitting various groups and saying, here's where you go on the internet, here's where you get a sample of our streaming video of the kind of programming content ideas that we have, and we hope to get good donations from the town folk to get this thing rolling. And one thing we had to do, And this shows my personal commitment to this. Because of the short window, by the time we got over here and we realized we had to raise that money to show that we could operate for 3 months and deal with the construction and find a studio and realistically have a budget. So that there was no way we could get organized and get the amount of money you need. So what I've done is personally made a pledge to the group for $75,000 of my funds, and so that's giving us the base to make our application to the FCC, and that's at least a credible bare-bones station. So when we get to the budgeting part, I think we can at least prove that we should be able to get on the air and stay on the air with no additional funding for 3 months.
I thought you had an underwriter.
Yeah, that's me.
Oh.
I've only told the sponsor that, and I'm not trying to brag or anything of that nature. I'm trying to keep it extremely quiet that I am the the sole person. But I came to this town, and I came to this desire, and so my wife and I talked it over and said, well, if we lost every penny of that, we lose every penny of that, we can still survive and live out our middle-class life and say, that was a learning experience.
But you know, and that kind of commitment can be used to leverage other people to commit.
Right. And that is the way the committee is presenting it is that, you know, there we have a person in the community who feels so strongly about this that he's made a major commitment to get our first working budget under control. So
now the
community just has to come together to help us with the construction phase and with ongoing yearly budgets. So if we have one person who feels that strongly in this community, we ought to find that you could be willing to give your $10, $15, $50, or $100. And so I think that'll help prime the pump on that. So that's the way I'm planning to pitch that.
Yes. Excellent.
And and I've had one nonprofit say, that's what we need, a sponsor or a person who's willing to commit a substantial amount of money so we could get our program moving along. So anyway.
Well, that is really not unusual. As we've had on some of our planning meetings, we've had people talk about fundraising, and it's not unusual. I know a friend of mine who has a sister who has, she had triplets, and one of them had a birth defect.
Mm-hmm.
And he loves his nephews. And
mm-hmm.
So when he came into some money, it was a natural mm-hmm. thing. His sister had been talking to the people that she talks to every day dealing with the problems that she has with her child. So they came to him and said, would you like to donate $1 million? Well, they knew where his passion was, and they knew
mm-hmm.
he had the money. And
mm-hmm.
people want to give. If they can see that another person has had the passion, and if they have somebody like you saying, you know, this is why it's important, they
mm-hmm.
want to get on board.
Mm-hmm. So I think we can spark, you know, we can work on a campaign to get the people behind us. And all we need now is hopefully this other frequency that the engineer is talking about is going to work out pretty darn well for us. And, you know, in life you always get a lot of half a loaves. You don't get the full loaf all the time. And but he's saying if we have to, we can later apply for maybe more power, who knows what changes, or we can apply for translators to maybe serve some areas that we want to serve that were in the original circle.
Yeah, I'm sure that'll be possible in that area.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're not over, like, states like Colorado are overloaded with translators.
Right. That's excellent.
So anyway, that's kind of, I don't know, I don't need to bore you guys, but I hope this is, but, you know, Ursula and her team and those guys are really doing a bang-up job, and it's really important to keep us stimulated and motivated. And there's been moments when I've been feeling like I was when I first arrived here, I'm the only person involved in this, and I really don't know anybody in town, and maybe I ought to just pack it in. And I've been sparked by somebody or some conversation at each time that I've ever hit one of the lows. And hopefully I've sparked some other people in our calls. And Teresa, you sound like I have sparked some people.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I was just talking to someone. We were talking about towers. And so
mm-hmm.
I called someone about towers and passed this on to someone that I said, you know, this person has offered to help when you start looking
mm-hmm.
for towers, because I think it involves negotiation. And while I was in conversation with this person, they said, well, you know, I built several stations, he said. This guy's an engineer.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I was able to motivate someone to give me a very good deal on a tower because they wanted, when they dealt with the FAA, they wanted to be able to say, well, we're helping a community radio station. So
it would be brownie points. In other words, it's not just staying out of the way of airplanes, but it's a real community involvement and a real community necessity to have this tower.
That's kind of a bargaining chip that you could use when you approach someone, say, if you ever have problems with the FAA, you know. Because, I mean, there are lots of little airports and such that could kind of throw a wrench in, you know, into a businessman's plan to have a tower.
Right. Exactly.
So the networking, and you know, and just because you and someone else on another call said some things about towers, I got to thinking, you know, that's going to take a certain amount of negotiation. And I thought, well, I'll just talk to another person about it, and I just picked up that little tidbit and was able to pass it on. So maybe, Ursula, when you're talking to someone, you might also mention that. Because it's a negotiating point.
Yeah, okay. Well, thank you, Roger. Is there anybody new on the call, or was that just people coming and going?
Sean Rhodes from WBI in New York came on.
Hey, Sean. Hey.
Hi.
Hi.
So are we having a regular meeting, or what are we doing?
Yeah, we are. We're just having an extended discussion. This is a gentleman who is an applicant, so we're still in the first part of the meeting where we have a guest.
Okay, because I came in about a quarter after and I heard him talking. It was interesting, but I wasn't sure where we were going after that, though.
Very interesting. Yeah, we are. It's just a very informal meeting because most of our participants are in finance meetings or various other. It's just very small, so we're kind of more relaxed this time.
Okay.
Could we ask maybe Roger one? Could I ask him one more question?
Sure.
Roger, can you give us a couple more stories of things that you've learned or people that you've met from this experience? Because they really are uplifting to hear them.
Well, you know, we've formed a committee now, and so and everybody on it is really nice people, and you know, so you find those people who want to do things within the community. Originally, I was going to be in another town nearby where I'm at now in the Midwest, and it turns out that I had this idea that we would have a station in that town, in this town, and we'd try and get a place where we could both share the same basic facility, you know, have a building built where the two L-shaped buildings. One L is upside down, the other is the other way, and we could share a copy room between it. And I had all these grandiose plans, and I had a farmer who was willing to give us the land and do that and everything. So I had this great plan back in May when I went back home. And it turns out by the time I got back here, we moved to the other town, not the original town. The team folded that was going to do the station here. A new team had been formed, and when I started talking with them about working together, they were in a position where they were folding, and so they were very happy to see me to take over as team leader to make sure that this town has a station. So talk about twists and turns. But everybody along the way has been very nice. So I have worked with my original sponsor for them to be a part of the new operation and switch to the other group that had the sponsorship. So we have a new sponsor. I mean, so from just May 7th to June 15th, I'd say that's quite a few twists and turns. But I've been able to negotiate each one and figure out a plan that makes sense. And so that's why I started with you have to remain flexible. And so we don't need two studios. We only need one, and so now we're looking on the looking at maybe some churches who would give us some space in their buildings and get zero rent or no rent. So we're looking to do a bare bones studio. So lots of things, minor things, have changed that I really didn't, you know, bring out in this discussion.
Mm-hmm.
But for a person who's rigid, I mean, many of the engineers I used to work with probably couldn't handle all of this dynamic situation.
You seem to be going with the flow with a pretty good sense of humor, too.
You have to be the right person to do this. And that's why when sitting in that car, I said, dear, this is what I ought to be doing. I've got the right personality. I have my long interest in RF and microwave and radio and stuff, but I also have an interest in people and helping people. And those
amazing skill sets
come together. And, you know, I mean, through the churches that I've been in and things like that, I've come to be a person who cares. We had a great sermon the other Sunday that just applied to this. I'd never thought about this, but the lady talked about systematic injustice. And I had that, you know, through no fault of people, they get in situations where the way the system works in the United States, it's very unjust to party family X. And she said one of the things that we want to try and do and what we ought to all be doing is breaking down. If systems have been set up, then systems can be changed. And so systematically looking at things and putting the pressure on the people in power to change those situations so that people aren't in a desperate way is really doing justice and making sure that we get systematic improvements to ensure that justice is done for all. And I thought, man, if that isn't the starting point of the business plan theme, I don't know what is. So I asked her for a copy of her sermon so I could really study the lines.
Now send it to me. Send me a copy.
Okay, I will. But I just thought that, boy, if that isn't the major theme of what community radio is all about, to enlighten, to expose, to cajole the powers that be to make the system fair and just. Anyway, I hope I haven't bored anybody, and I hope that does not seem to be Rush Limbaugh's objective. And I use Rush as my whipping boy regularly, that we will not be rebroadcasting Rush's program on our station. So, and people don't seem to mind that. They say, oh, that would be great. I don't need to listen to him. So.
Roger, yeah, you've been inspirational.
Well, thank you. Okay, well,
thank
you guys
thank
have
you,
a
Roger.
Good meeting, and I hope some people will listen to this on the stream. So,
yeah,
thanks.
Thank you, Roger.
Have a good night. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye. Okay. Am I chairing this meeting, or would somebody else like to chair it, or how should we proceed?
Well, I'll do the minutes. I'll chair if you want, but I thought maybe Chandra might want to chair.
I've been on the phone all day. I know Ursula's really tired, too. How about you, Sean?
I'll respectfully decline.
All right, well, I've been dusting while we've been talking. So,
Teresa,
I want to know why that's
do you
so
ever
funny.
Stay still?
I will now chair the meeting.
Okay. I want to know why it's so funny that Sean would chair.
Well, A, I don't have the agenda or even some idea of what to put on the agenda, and B,
okay.
I thought you all would have established that when you got on the call.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Well, we convened at 8:12, and I guess next item on the agenda is approval of minutes, and we have minutes from a meeting in July that are not ready. So if someone will suggest that we postpone approval till our next meeting, the July minutes?
I'll move that.
All right. Any opposition to that? All right, that's approved. The next item on the agenda is the Affiliates Coordinator's Report. Ursula, you want to give us a report?
Okay, well, right now, mostly there's two very heavy labor-intensive things going on. I mean, there's other stuff going on, but there's two huge projects going on. One is the Radio for People project, which Roger was just describing. And the other is that it's contract time. And so in our office, we are processing contracts and renegotiating them. And so with the Radio for People, it's right now, our office is kind of like a social service agency because, you know, a year ago we were running around, a lot of you were here then. We were trying to figure out how to reach people, right? And we were, like, trying to get people's attention. And, of course, now that it's too late, we're besieged with phone calls all day long with people that are determined to apply for radio stations no matter what, you know, no matter how many times we tell them that it's too late to start now. So it's, you know, it's just human nature, I guess. When you can't do it, all of a sudden everybody wants to do it. So we've got a lot of people calling all day, either still trying to apply or, you know, in the middle of applying and have run into a lot of different types of problems and, you know, legal problems, engineering problems, so many problems. So right now, you know, we're kind of like a social service agency for radio people. It's really something. So it's very high traffic and very stressful sometimes because some of these problems are get pretty serious. And so because they involve so much money. And so that's what's going on. It's looking like we're going to have about 15 applications as part of our Radio South project. Although Roger kind of mentioned this on what happened to him in his town with the minor changes. That's actually a very serious situation because it's being used as a strategy in many places around the country to knock off community radio applicants. And we have already lost a few to this minor change thing, and we don't know how many we've lost yet. And so it's a very upsetting situation going on. A lot of people aren't as lucky as Roger, and there is no alternative for them. In a lot of places, there is only one frequency. So we're going to lose people to that. And it's pretty awful to watch. So, but we do have a few very solid applications in the South, and we're holding our breath, hoping that they make it through. I did contact the SCLC, the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, the group that Martin Luther King was the leader of, and have asked them if they would work with us. And they seem to be pretty interested in doing that to help support these efforts and, you know, help them succeed. So that's kind of exciting, and I hope to have a stronger commitment from them soon. They've kind of provisionally said they're interested. And so we're continuing to try and build momentum in the South. And Brian DeShazer at PRA very graciously has offered to put together sort of a packet of programming from the civil rights era as kind of what do you call it? It's like when you give somebody for free, it's like
premium.
I can't remember the word now. Anyway, it's Anyway, it's he just as a gift from us, and. So there's just a lot of potential there, but right now we're just struggling to get everybody across the finish line. Teresa mentioned towers. It's still very stressful to try and find towers for everybody, and we have a volunteer from WRFG, our affiliate in Atlanta, who is working with us to try and help people find towers, And I couldn't tell, Teresa, when you were saying if that was something you were actually doing too. And if you are do feel inclined to do the tower research, we really could use another person on the team to try and find towers. So.
The person that you should talk to is the engineer at KPFT.
Oh, okay, great. Steve Wrightwell?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
he's
great. Okay.
He's built several stations.
Okay, because we need people to still find towers. It's really, especially in the South, because I hate to say it, but it's just harder for African Americans to find towers, and because of racism. So we're really struggling with that. And that's that. So it's very very intense right now. And in terms of the other area of work, our October 1st, our contracts turn over like our budget does. And so that really involves with speaking with every single affiliate and checking in and making sure that, everything's in order. In most cases, I am not asking for a fee raise because last year we had a pretty significant fee raise. Although there's always a certain percentage of stations that came in during the year, and so the last year they paid less than they will this time because this year it's going to be a complete year cycle. And so, the amount that we bring in will rise above what we made last year. I think last year we're projected, for the year that's coming to a close, we're projected to make around $208,000. And it'll probably rise, another 10 or so thousand. And we did get a new affiliate, which is a former affiliate ours, who will pay a substantial amount. And the nicest story is that a current affiliate of ours had said last year that he might increase it this year. He might not. He seemed, upset at the timing last year. And so just kind of for the heck of it, I called him and I said, so, is there any chance that, we could raise your fee this year? And his fee was around $6,000. It's an NPR station. And to my astonishment, he said that because of the work we're doing for Radio and People, he feels inspired to support the effort. And he offered to raise the fee to $10,000. So he's our first $10,000 contract.
Awesome.
It was quite a moment in the office. I was expecting, like a few hundred dollars or something, and he offered to jump up to a $4,000 increase. So I just, I partly wanted to mention it because I think this is, this is what marketing is all about. I mean, this is, it just reinforced to me that even though the Radio for People project is, not a direct money maker. Besides just, fulfilling our mission and believing in community radio, it is also marketing because it's raising, our reputation, and it does pay off in other ways. And this guy felt, he obviously must have had the money, and he felt that he wanted to give it to us because of the work we were doing. So that was really a very beautiful moment. And there's a few other stations that are raising their fees a little bit, not as much as this guy did. So I think we're going to hold our own. I mean, I don't think we'll reduce in the fee amount. And I think we might go up a little bit. And that
how many affiliates do we have now?
I'm not really sure. I think it's about 130. I'll be able to tell you by the end of this contract cycle. But, I don't know right now because I don't know. I haven't spoken to everybody. There was one affiliate that was going to pull out and pay DN directly instead because there's enough perception by now that DN is really, not from Pacifica anymore. And I was able to keep him. And in fact, I also am happy to report that he did go and talk to DN, and DN also encouraged him to stay with us. So it's good to know that. And
So, you know, sometimes when a station talks about leaving, in the process of working it out, of discussing that, you can make them a stronger affiliate, because when he, after he decided to stay, he basically looked to get more ways to get more involved with us. And so, you know, that's kind of how it goes. But I partly just want to say that because I really want to communicate, you know, this it's really, you know, keeping the program going forward is, it doesn't happen by magic. It really is a hard-won process where, you know, you really have to earn each success again and again and again, and really determined to keep the affiliates program focused on growth and not not decline. And so that's that. It's a just very, very time-consuming process because it requires speaking with everybody and then making contracts and then, you know, the whole process of putting the contracts together and mailing them. And this year we're going to also make a certificate to go with the contract so that, you know, sometimes affiliates have said they would like to have something from us that they can display in their, you know, in their station. And so after kind of doing an informal survey, we decided that a certificate was the object that most people would really be able, you know, wouldn't collect dust somewhere, but would actually be of use to people because they could hang it on a wall.
We should...
Can I ask you a question about something you said earlier regarding the SCLC helping out with the Radio for People project?
Uh-huh.
And can you give us some ideas and what aspects are they looking to help? How can are they going to target specific people who are interested and